Welcome to the Bitches Be Brave podcast. We know how difficult and crazy it can be to juggle family, career, and not to mention make time for yourself as a busy working mom.
So it's time to get inspired and gain the tools to create a life you love. We are your hosts, Bev Steele
and Heather Hobbs.
Join us as together we motivate, inspire, and gain tools to thrive in all areas of life. Let's go.
Hey guys, welcome back. Today's episode, we sit down and we interview Sharon and Marie from Simply a New Me, who talks to women and girls about empowering themselves and discovering the power of you. I loved this episode so much because it really hit home, I think, with how all the struggles that I had growing up as a young girl and what I see today just still in myself as a mom and, you know, how we're just how social media is impacting all of us so much.
Yep. The struggle is real. And I don't think that we leave that struggle just because we become adults.
No.
We carry so much of it into our adulthood. And then as mothers, are we pushing that then back down on our daughters, our kids?
I think even if we don't mean to, I mean, we talk about this in the interview today that it's, I think sometimes even if we have the best intentions of trying to tell our kids, you know, be strong and be powerful and be confident, but then how are we acting and what are we modeling to our kids? Because I think we're still fighting those demons in our own head, and we're still fighting the demons of looking at Facebook and comparing ourselves to other people. And our kids see that. They see right through it.
Or how many times do you say something and as you're saying it, you want to pull the words out? It was funny what Sharon said when she said something to her daughter. She's like, oh, that was my mother. I have experienced that countless times as a mom. And just even having the conversation and just being real about, you know, where is it coming from? What do you really want for your kids? And really thinking it out on how that's going to affect them in the long term.
Yeah. Awesome episode. You guys are definitely going to want to share this with your friends and your daughters and your friends with daughters. She also has a new book out that we didn't actually mention in the interview, calling Healing the Little Woman Inside. And that is now out on Amazon. And I highly recommend you guys check that out as well.
All right. So here we go.
Welcome. We are here today with Sharon Ann Marie, who is an empowerment specialist, best-selling author, international speaker, motivator, mother, educator, roadblock destroyer, and lover of life. Sharon is an inspiring force on a mission to help young girls and women discover the power of themselves. Like most women, she experienced the hard trials and tribulations that teenage girls and young women have to endure. She suffered from an eating disorder, depression, and bad relationship choices as a result. Sharon had to learn new strategies to discover her full potential. Her desire to be the voice for the silent and the strength of the weak led her to become the founder and president of Simply a New Me, a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping women to write new patterns for their lives and have young girls, 9 to 14, loving who they are. Her human passion and love for what she does has allowed her to coach and educate over 10,000 females and help them discover the true power of themselves. Sharon, such an honor to have you here today. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
Wow. So I just love what you're doing. And first of all, I think when we go back and look at, you know, the things that you said you suffered from when you were young, eating disorders and bad relationship choices and depression, I mean, that is so common. I know I'm right there with you when I look back on my teenage years. So how did you come to this place now where you decided to really take this experience and work with these young girls?
It came from actually my daughter. I'd hang out with all her friends, and they'd be around, and you're hearing conversations. And a lot of the conversations were the exact conversations I used to have with my friends, except it was huge. It was social media was making it worse. So they were coming with, you know, I need to look like this person, so I need to do this. And I remember we didn't have social media back in my day. So we had Teen Vogue and we had all these magazines, and everyone didn't look like me. So I was this short, really muscular girl, and everybody else was really tall and thin, and I got made fun of. because, you know, I was too thick or I didn't look like everybody else. So people were telling me to take X-lax, you know, take, you know, don't eat. It was the tomatoes, eat all these stupid things, which made no sense because I'm West Indian and we ate all the time. So to see it happening again with my daughter and her friends and them thinking that if they don't eat, if they over-exercise, and then I just said, hey, you know what? Hey, come, let's have a conversation. And then that led to 2 girls, and it led to 5 girls, and it led to 10 girls. And I was like, whoa, we have an epidemic happening. And this was 20 years ago. And then I decided to, hey, you know what? Let me take it out into the community and see who needed it. And then more girls started to come. And then I was like, wow, you know what? There are so many girls that are in desperate need of loving themselves. And I was like, hey, I'm the guru of the girl. I got you. Let's do this. And so I just kept building until I'm out there helping as many women, even on the corner. I'm just like, hey, how are you? And we just start talking to empower them because that's needed. And that's how it started with my daughter.
Yeah, so, you know, it's interesting, just those small messages that you're giving yourself, even just about body, can turn into the messages in all relationships, right? So everything then is going to support what you're telling yourself. I was watching, because of course we're all quarantined right now, we're watching all these movies. I was watching that movie, He's Just Not Into You.
Oh, I love that.
And the very beginning, they have a little boy being really mean to a little girl on a playground. She runs over to her mom and she's, her mom's like, you know, honey, that just means he likes you.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. I mean, that just was like, oh my gosh, there, what message then is there, right? I'm already feeling bad about myself in this way. Now I know if a man treats me wrong, that just means he likes me more. So what kind of commonality, I know that the body image is so, you know, there for us as women, what other issues, as you've been working with these women, are, do you see patterns?
Huge, huge competition of not working together. So it's, I have to have one up on you. I've got to pull you down. You will not be better than me. That whole, I've got to have it now. Do you know what I mean? It's, I don't know, when I was young, my mom always used to say, make sure you marry rich, make sure you're a doctor, you know, don't talk. You're supposed to be seen and heard. Make sure you have dinner on the table. And I'm like, what? Like, who has time? We're both working. But she, no. You need to be seen and not heard. So, you know, if another woman had it, I have to figure out how I can get over her. So it's the same with these girls. If someone has a pair of shoes, they have to have two. It's, no one knows how to look in the mirror and say, hey, I love me. They need someone to validate who they are, or they do not feel they're good enough. So whether it's, you know, simply, I've got my eyebrows done. So I went and got, you know, I went to Sephora and I got my eyebrows down. The next one's got to come with eyebrows and lashes. So it's a constant, who looks better? Who's giving? There's no girl community at all. Zero. Another commonality is, again, well, not just body image, but it leads to self-hate. So it doesn't matter, as long as I'm getting everything, I will take the abuse. I will hate on myself because look what I have, as opposed to look what I don't have. So they're not looking at, I don't have self-love. I don't have people who really care for me. I am just the next person. And they don't, they're not okay with it, but they're convincing themselves that this is what 2020 is supposed to look like. Have it all, and doesn't matter how you get it. Those are the huge commonalities, which is hurting my heart.
I mean, even as a woman, I mean, the other day I was browsing through my personal Facebook, and I realized, I stopped and I'm like, it doesn't make me feel good to be on Facebook. I feel like when I'm going through there and I'm seeing people and they're like, oh, this is what my kids and I are all doing in quarantine. And, you know, and it just shows this picture of like, everything looks so perfect. Meanwhile, my kids are like strangling each other and, you know,
and I'm yelling at mine to get their dishes done. And
I'm like, so I was like, okay, am I the dysfunctional one? And, you know, you end up like putting yourself down.
Exactly.
But for kids, I mean, social media is how they talk, right? I've had so many conversations like this. It used to be us with the long phone cord and you'd wrap it around the wall into the bathroom and you'd sit there and try to talk to your friends. And now this is what they do. So how do you coach girls and parents, right? To kind of get away from that impact that social media has on us.
Well, it really just comes down to teaching them to love themselves. Most of these girls don't even look in the mirror. They don't want to see that person because they can't see that, you know, I don't look like Kim Kardashian. I don't look like, you know, all these other filtered and augmented different people who aren't real. So I just, I teach them to love themselves. I have them look in the mirrors and I'm like, look, what do you see? They don't like to look. I'm like, what do you see? Look how beautiful your smile is. And with my young girls, I compare it to listening, because they all listen to music. And I'm like, okay, what's your favorite song? What's your favorite song? And they'll tell me. And I'm like, oh, what lyrics do you like in that? And they'll tell me. And I'm like, okay, what if the song was saying you're stupid and you're dumb and you're fat and you're ugly to the best beat in the world? They're like, ew, I would never listen to that. But that's what you're doing when you self-talk negative. You become a song in your head. And they like, oh, I didn't think about it like that. Like, yeah, you want songs that are going to empower you. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I teach my young girls. My women, I teach them to unlearn. And I teach them to go back to a time in their life when they were that little girl. And when in that lifetime did you become silenced? When did you become that little girl who hated herself? And then we work through that so that they can let go of that little girl or go back and hug that little girl and just say, it's okay. We're good now. We're an adult. Let's move forward and break those cycles. And then we move on. And then everyone starts to just love themselves because we live in the past. A lot of us can always remember the worst thing that happened. And we often forget as women, the best things that happened. And that hurt transfer. So it's letting go of that hurt and growing and loving yourself. And you just end up having great women, stronger women, and stronger young girls who become women. And mm-hmm. so they're all intermingled.
Yeah. Yep. You know, you mentioned the Kim K, you know, I don't look like Kim K. It's interesting to me because as I grew up as a young teen and even today, you know, always trying to meet some strange, mm-hmm. you know, goal in my mind of what I should look like, kind of what you were talking about at the beginning. But I find, especially with my youngest daughter, she's a sophomore in high school, that they're just much more, you know, it's okay if you have, you know, big booty, you know, I can wear a crop top, whatever. Or, you know, is social media changing that as well? That, you know, there's more acceptance for all shapes and sizes? I know that a lot of YouTubers wouldn't fit typically what I would say would be somebody that I would follow, but some get very popular and they don't fit any of the normal, you know, what you would put in a box as a star.
Right. And that's the beauty to social media as well. Kids get to decide with whom they want to follow. So when you didn't fit into that, now there's people who look like you. There's people, I remember when Janet Jackson and Whitney Houston came out, I mean, that shows my age, but I was like, oh my gosh, there's people who look like me. Because I was into like, not me, you know, Boy George, you know, Madonna. They didn't look like me, but then when I saw people who looked like me that were muscular or who had, looked like my mom, who was a full-figured woman, I was like, wow. Okay, so the same as social media, is that's what it did for me, is what social media can do for kids. They can select and go with those who they love. If you look at Lizzo, Lizzo is one of the most popular singers right now, and she's a very full, and girls mm-hmm. are now, look, I am beautiful. I can wear that. So it does have its ups. As long as the kids are loving themselves, they'll gravitate. When they don't and they're trying to be other people, that's when they're gravitating to, I need Botox, I need this, I need that. I have 8-year-old girls telling me they can't wait till they can get boob jobs. I'm like, oh, well, we're going to work on that because, you know, you're beautiful the way you are. Mm-hmm. And you don't need that. Quite expensive, you know? And they're like, oh, no, I want to look like that.
It's so scary because to me, it's the conversation I have with my kids all the time, which is like, when you are this age, when you are in the teenage years, middle, high school, that's all you see. That's your universe. That's your world. Yeah. You don't see beyond that. And to say, you know, that someday, like, so for me, I was a early bloomer. I basically was the exact same size I am today at age 13. I was 5'7". Wow. I had like D cup boobs, which I hated. Nobody, I would hide them and like wear sweatshirts and slunch over. And, you know, I hated it. And, but then, you know, you fast forward and you get into your adulthood. And I was like you, I pack on muscle. I have a dad who's like a 330 pound offensive tackle. And he had three girls. We're like, thanks, dad. So, but it's like, when I grew older, I started to be thankful for the fact that I build muscle and that I was tall and that, you know, like those are things that I ended up being grateful for. But when you're 13, it's hard to see yourself as an adult and how you're going to appreciate some of those assets. And I love what you're doing. I mean, how do you see our girls responding to this? Like, because to me, doesn't it start from a very young age, right? And so are you getting girls to see their worth and their value and their beauty? And I think that's so important that you're doing that.
I do. I have a lot of successful stories, and mm-hmm. I have a lot of girls. I go into a lot of communities where there's a lot of violence, and getting girls who outside, you know, belong to different organizations, let's say, and then when they come in, they have to learn to get along, and they are really beginning to get along. They're really beginning to see like, hey, wait, you don't like that? Oh, we do have stuff in common. We are all girls at the end of the day. We are all going to be future leaders and future women. And I'm having a lot of success because of my ability just to be real and to show them, hey, look at all these different people in the world. Look at all the great things that they're doing. And they all look different. They don't all now fit into a mold. And they're beginning to love themselves because they're beginning to see like, hey, I am a really cool person, and being an artist is okay. You know, being someone who can sing is okay. Being a person who loves to cook is okay. I can be a gamer. There's so many things that we weren't allowed to do as women that now that they can see, they can do. So that's also helping with the women movement and then allowing them to just be themselves in a safe space is empowering for them. So when they go home, I mean, that cycle's to be broken, but when they're with me, I'm seeing it. I'm seeing the love. I'm seeing them give love to others in the community. And it's really nice to see. So I'm a little bit at a time. I'm not going to get everybody, but a little bit at a time, right?
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I think that there was a saying that my girls used to love when they were younger that said, be yourself, everyone else is taken. And I said, I do not like that because be yourself, even if everyone else was available. That's what I say, you know, you just, and I made the mistake of saying, even if Beyonce was available, be yourself. They're like, no, I think I'd pick Beyonce. But really, I mean, finding that you are a gift, right? And you don't need to be like everyone else. I wanted to get back to that comment that you made about Lizzo, because she is, you know, full body fabulous, but she dealt with some 100%. Very vocal shame, body shame, I think, on the guise of, you know, you need to be healthy. And I think as a mom of three daughters, that's really where I need to walk the line. Like, I want them to be healthy, but I don't want it to be transformed into you're overweight, you know, you need to lose weight. How do you approach that? I mean, that's a very delicate, and because you have had issues with eating disorders in the past, I'm sure that you come from a place of, okay, I've been there. How would you help us to support our daughters there?
Even with when I'm doing my workshops with my girls, I always incorporate fitness and health. So I have someone who comes in and we do self-defense or we do boxing or we do something. So there's a balance. And I'm like, it's okay to eat, but do you know how to eat? Because a lot of it's just teaching girls to be healthy and to be like, just to be good humans. And to be a good human, you got to take care of your body. So whether, you know, here's how we do a facial, this is what a steam. If you don't want to steam, how do you eat? Do you want to be an athlete? How do you train? So I incorporate everything. And when it comes to body image, I'm like, girls, one thing I was never taught, it was you have to eat in proportion. Would I like to eat a whole entire cheesecake some days? Of course I would. Probably have. Yeah, you know. But the next day I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to add fruits. I'm going to say, I'm not teaching them, okay, you know, how to count calories and this is what your body fat is supposed to be, because then, you know, it becomes a mind thing. Just be healthy. Be healthy. What your healthy looks like is going to be different from mine. There's some solid girls that come to my program and then they're healthy. They're strong. And then there's some I have to teach how to eat properly. Do you know what I'm saying? But that also comes from home. So it's just a matter of teaching. All you can do is, you know, give them little nuggets. Every time they come to my program, it's a different nugget. Or I model. Sure like this banana. Anybody like bananas? Oh, okay. If not, have an orange. And we all eat together. And because everyone's doing it together, they see they're not alone. And then it doesn't become, oh, well, why are you eating this chocolate? Or why, you know, I'm not picking on them. I have chocolate because I love chocolate. Mm-hmm. So I have some chocolate there. But again, you're teaching proportion. So
yeah. Yeah. And sometimes it's better coming from somebody else like you, because when you hear it from your mom, it brings on a whole sense of judgment, not, you know, that kind of thing, I would think.
Yeah. I also think that's, I mean, that's such a good point, is sometimes as mothers, I think we sometimes don't even realize, like, we might be aware of what the messages we want to tell our kids. Like, we can say, okay, I don't want my kids to feel the way I did when I grew up. And so be proud of yourself, be confident, be strong. We say these things. The problem is, I think sometimes our behaviors to ourselves 100%. Might not be, you know, they're seeing that, right? So I got called out on that. I have two boys, but I think I still see it. I still worry for my boys, because I have one that's a big athlete, and I think he's really, you know, he's worried about his body all the time. But I had it called out that, you know, I walk around and hold myself to such high expectations, and they hear me get down on myself a lot of the times, or even things in my house, if my house isn't the way I want it. And someone said, you know, they're hearing, and there's, by what you're saying and what you're doing, they're hearing that if things aren't perfect, mom's not happy. And I was like, oh my God, that's not at all what I want my kids to think or hear, but that is what they're seeing. And so I think that is such a big piece of it too, right? Is how we make parents wake up to what we're doing to ourselves.
And it's hard because it's a cycle, right? Like, I was doing something kind of like you're saying, and I was like, oh my gosh. And it wasn't really a big deal, but all of a sudden I stopped and I go, oh, I just became my mother. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And I turned to them. I'm like, I'm so sorry. And my daughter's like, Mom, are you okay? Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. No, got to break that cycle. Okay, kids, this is what, can we work together? My mom is like, she, like I said, I just finished talking to her, and she's like, oh, so have you gone for a walk? Because when I look at you on FaceTime, look, you're getting fat. Quarantine's making you fat. Mom, I love talking to you. No, it's just the angle of the camera. No, no, look at your cheeks. I mean, and then it's Michael, because she's 75 and she still talks like that. So I have to call her up and say, Mommy, remember, you have granddaughters. You can't say these things. So, right. You guys, you don't have as thick skin as I do. And I'm like, no, Mom, that's not thick skin. That's conditioning. So stop it now. We're going to unlearn at 75. Let's do it, sister. Mm-hmm. So I get it. I fully get what you're saying. It's just trying to catch yourself, hearing what you're saying. Stop in that moment and just be like, whoa, what am I doing that makes sense? You know, am I obsessing about something? Why am I obsessing about that? Where did that come from? And then you kind of unbreaking and decluttering your own mind as a mom, and then you'll be able to pass on good and better things as time goes on.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that a lot of times when you're talking to your children, it's coming from a place of fear for them, right?
It is. Like, yeah.
So she's fearful that you're not walking. She's not walking. No, I don't know.
No, my mom walks 2 hours a day. She's always like, when I was your age, I did this. I'm like, yes, my, no, you were a superhero. Thank you for modeling that.
Yeah.
Well, don't, when you get to my age, you're going to be, oh gosh. My kids are like, I'm like that. If I do, stop me, please.
That's the hard part though, because I think, like, it was so funny. I had this situation yesterday. We went hiking yesterday as a family, and we decided we're going to do, out in San Diego, they have this, it's called the Five Peak Challenge. And they have these five mountains, and you climb and you get your picture in front of the sign, and you get this like certificate that you did the five. So I'm like, this is what our quarantine project is going to be. We're going to do the Five Peak Challenge. So we do the first one yesterday, and my older one just doesn't love to have physical exertion. he doesn't enjoy the feeling of physical exertion. And I'm like, go, 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 you know? And so he goes like, Mom, I'm so tired of your motivational speeches. I don't want to hear it anymore. You know, you can do it, and you'll be so glad when you do it. And so he just shut down. Like, he shut down. But to me as a mom, I was like, oh my God, I just want him to do this. He'll be so proud of himself when he does, right? Like, I wanted him to have that feeling. But apparently I did not communicate that in a way that was good for him, because he shut down. So I think as parents, it's like that is what I struggle with. Like, how can I, how can I help my kids do what I think is good for them and going to make them feel good, but in a way that a teenager will respond to?
I think a lot of it comes down to conversation, right? It comes down to sometimes, as hard as it is, you got to not be the mom. Sometimes you just kind of got to step back and be the listener and just be like, hey, what is it you'd like to do? Because maybe, you know, maybe he wants to draw the peak, you know, maybe he wants to draw you walking. Maybe he wants to be the person who records and turns it into a really cool video. And that's his accomplishment. But for us, we're like, come on, get the body going. Pump, pump, pump. Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
And they're like, please, I'm so not into this. And we have to find a way to respect that. Again, that's cyclical, right? So what is it you would like to do that would allow you to be a part of all that we're doing and would make you feel you've accomplished something? And then allow them to do it. And you'd be like, that's like, you know, when they draw that picture and you're like, what a really nice picture. Yeah. And then they come back with 50 more and you're like, oh, great. Is there anything else you can draw? But they draw the best sons. You know, it's just that he wants that validation in that way. And that's a hard part for us when we wanted a specific way, just to take a step back and allow them to do it their way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that feels good to us isn't necessarily what feels good to them, is what you're saying. Right. And I love that. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. That's, I know that feeling.
And I think they do listen, even though they're pushing back. You'll see little wins down the road where it's like, oh gosh, you know.
Yeah.
And then you make a big deal about it. You walk down the street. Yay. I wanted to get back to the discussion at the beginning about competition, just because Heather and I have kind of dug into, you know, the fact that women aren't having the conversations about difficult things, about how difficult it is being a mom, how difficult it is being working, just like let work think that I've got it together, let all my friends at school drop off. You know, I'm wondering if the competition is stemming from that. If we are just being more real about our struggles, and Heather, you mentioned looking on Facebook and just feeling defeated, like, why am I even going on here? Everyone else has it together. Right. Yeah. So how can we as women model for our kids that definitely social media is going to be out there, and promote, you know, I guess it could even be healthy competition. It's like, hey, who's got the messiest house really today? I win.
Oh no, listen, if you need to see what's behind this wall.
It's looking very pretty.
Yeah. I was like, we'll do it right here. Yeah. All of it, honestly, it comes down to conversation. It just really comes down to having conversation. Like, it's okay. Again, it's kind of like, you know, what Heather was saying, we model, like, why does your room look like this? Why can't you pick up? And we're on them and on them. Mm-hmm. Instead of just like, woo, all right, you got 6 docs down. Let's put another one down. Like, have fun with it and have the conversation that it's okay to have that, you know, hair on the floor in the bathroom. No, it's not. But it's okay. It's okay to just be human. It's okay to not be perfect. It's okay to have something out of place. And when they turn around, you fix it. But at that time, you know, just, it's okay. And having conversations about who cleans that house. Like, look at that house. Do you want to have to clean that house like this every day? Wouldn't you rather be able to leave a fork in the sink? Like, is it okay? And joke and laugh. And in the end, you get your way and it'll be clean. But it's that fun and allowing them to know that, you know, social media is just that. A lot of it is filtered. A lot of it is fake. You know, I always make sure to show some of my girls. I'm like, yeah, did you see this? And they're like, what? They got charged because they didn't bring back the car that they rented for the video. You remember that one that they thought they owned, but they didn't. And the money that they borrowed from the bank really wasn't there. So they had to take it back. And they're like, oh, it's not real. It's not real. They put their pant leg on just like you, one day at a time, and everything isn't perfect, but that's a brand. That's not real. They're like us. So let's look at them like us. They wake up like us. They didn't wake up with their face full of makeup like Beyonce. I woke up like this. No, she didn't. The makeup artist made her wake up like that.
Yeah.
And you just keep the conversation real and keep it fun. And that's because you're competing against a whole empire of thing called social media. So all you can do is make it fun. And if you have family members who are crazy like mine, record it. Oh, look, my daughter had this. What does your daughter have? Oh, ho, ho. And then it just becomes a fun, entertaining type of relaxed situation.
Yeah.
Fun.
Well, it's so funny. Yeah. Just getting back to, I wish that were the case. You know, we were laughing that at work they did this. The work from home, a work from home picture contest, but it's like everyone's adorable kids, like sitting in the desks next to them. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do it of my like grumpy teenagers, you know, down on the couch on their video games and like food splattered or like the screaming. I was like, honestly, but that's the problem that we have today is like, if I were to do that, it'd be like, ooh, you know, to be the first is so hard, but I think I love your idea of like, just, let's do this. Let's say the who has the messiest house, who has the most crazy kids right now.
You know? And you're right. When you said to be the first is the hardest, but you gotta be yourself. You have to be real. And you're gonna be so surprised when other people are like, oh, I would show that, but I'm so embarrassed because they're caught up in how they should look and whatever. You being you, you will have the most people like, yeah, I want to be like Heather. I love her. And next thing is like, I don't care, kids, let's take a picture. And you'll start the trend. But yeah. Someone has to start it and be comfortable doing it and not worried about what people are going to say. Because people are going to say whether, you know, if you have the perfect glass, it's like, oh my gosh, why isn't it 2 inches from the other glass? Someone always has something to say. So just be you. Just be yeah. you. If you're telling our girls to be that, if we're telling our boys to be that, yeah. you just got to be you. Real is real.
Yeah, I think that we've really learned that through our evolution of Bitches Be Brave. Just, you know, we kind of started out in one place and the more real we became, mm-hmm. the more we found out who our true listeners were, people, you know, people that want to connect and be real and even laugh at ourselves a little bit, you know? Yeah. Yeah. Gotta laugh. Gotta laugh. A lot.
It is not easy. And I think that's the thing is that everybody puts up this shelter, whether you're a young girl or whether you're a woman like us, that I think it's the truth. If we just start putting it out there, it makes others feel more welcome and able to express who you truly are.
Right.
So I love the work that you've done, and I'd love for you to tell our listeners, you know, how they can find out about your program and the works that you do, because I know you go all over to, I've seen you do different programs for schools and different organizations. So how can our listeners find you and find out about what you're doing?
Well, they can visit me at www.simplyanewme.com, and you'll get to see all the great things that I'm doing and all the great things that some of my past participants are doing. And yes, you'll love it because I love it.
I love it. And Sharon, what we always ask our guests, what does it mean to you to be brave?
I love that question. You know, to me, to be brave is to just take those risks. Just, if you're going to want to do it, do it. And not look back and worry about who's behind you, because at the end of the day, as you get older, 99% of those people that are there won't be there. So take that risk. Simply a New Me came out because I simply became a new person. And I was not going to be listening to what people were telling me I couldn't do, and I'm too old to do this, and I shouldn't do that. Whatever. And I did it. So being brave is being authentic, being real, laughing when you're crazy, telling people you're sad, being vulnerable, and just jumping, because either you're going to fly or you're going to land on something and start all over. That's how I look at it. So be brave, queens. Be brave.
I love it.
Awesome. That's so motivational. I love it so much. Thank you for your time. Thanks for all you're doing for all the girls and women out there. And it was such a pleasure talking with you.
Oh, thank you for having me, ladies. You're amazing. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.